Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Paul's letter to Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things is there no law. They do say that this Sunday is the hardest one to preach on. I don't know why. I suppose it's because it's quite a complex area to get into the Trinity. Pope John the 12th introduced Trinity Sunday as a concept and said it's important that people understand it. And that's when it got introduced. And since then, we've put the Sunday aside for reflection on the mystery of the Trinity. And we've just sang God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Praising the Trinity has gone on for almost 1,690 years. And there was an emperor called Constantine, and he called 317 bishops from all over the Christian world to look at the Trinity. 317 very scholarly people who knew the Word of God, and the job was to have a look at the Trinity and try and work out what it all meant. They were asked to settle the question of whether Christ was a great prophet and a great teacher, whether he was even a high-ranking angel from God, or was he the divine Son of God, co-equal and co-eternal with God? And in the end, that's what they decided Jesus was. The Church Fathers spent hundreds of years trying to reach agreement on the doctrine of the Trinity. And I've got 15 minutes. So I'll try my best. But as I say, I don't think that anyone can explain the mystery of the Trinity. My hope and my prayer is that you leave this service slightly less confused about it than when you came. And I hope you don't leave a little bit more confused than when you walk through the door, because that's not my intention. Trinity Sunday is the only Sunday in the calendar which celebrates a doctrine, an idea. It's an unfinished doctrine, a mystery that's not completed and not fully understood. So can we explain a mystery? Do we need to explain a mystery? We were talking, weren't we, about the importance of things being mysteries, the importance of not understanding things completely, because none of us know everything. Only God is omniscient, is the fancy word, isn't it? Only God knows everything about everything. And we were never designed to know everything about everything. A doctrine, by its nature, is an abstraction. Have you seen House of Games? Does anyone watch House of Games on BBC Two during the week? Or is it just me and Elizabeth? Irene, yeah, Alison. Nobody else?
Is that one at 6 o'clock?
Yes, that's the one at 6 o'clock. Yeah, you do watch it with Richard Osman. That's the man. Yeah, yeah. I only say that because I'm going to do something that they do on House of Games. So what I want you to do is, the person next year, or as a three, or whatever you like, I want you to come up with a number, and the number is the answer to this question. And then I want you to come up with an average. So if one of you says 20 and the other says 40, this is the hard bit, your average would be 30. Do you get that? Yeah? If you're not good at maths, somebody will sort you out. And the question is, how many times in the Bible is the Trinity mentioned? How many times in the Bible is the Trinity mentioned? So come up with a number and then shout out the average of that number, in a minute when I ask you for it. It's zero to me. And you're absolutely right. The Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible. And that's why it's a metaphor. And that's why it's a concept. We made up the Trinity. We didn't make God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's always been there. But we made up this concept so that we could understand God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And down the generations, people have tried to find other metaphors. Do you know what a metaphor is? It's fine. If you don't know what a metaphor is, I'll tell you what a metaphor is. A metaphor is a way, it's like it can be a picture or it can be a phrase or some words that explain something that's deeper, something that's more difficult. Mark has already given us one, haven't you? Because you talked about the water, and it could be in ice, it could be in steam, or it could be in liquid. And that's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a metaphor that makes it easier for us to understand. And thank you for sharing that with us. But there's been plenty of those down the ages. People have talked about a simple one, like a three-leaf clover. Three leaves, but they all come from one plant. And therefore, they're all part of one plant. It's still a clover, but it's got three leaves on it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Very simple concept, but it helps you remember. There's been other ones. A chap called Augustine spoke of the lover, the loved or the beloved, and the love shared between the two. Do you get that? Yeah. So you've got the lover, the person being loved, and the love itself. Yeah. So the lover is the Father, the loved is the Son, and the love being shared, which is a bit ethereal, it's not really, it's just a thing, that's the Holy Spirit. And that was his way of trying to explain and understand. A chap called John of Damascus was one of the early church fathers, and he spoke about water bubbling up from a spring. And it came up from a spring, and then it flowed and became a river. And then the river flowed and flowed and flowed and reached its source in an ocean. And that water that was flowing was the spring, the river, and the ocean. It's the same water, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Some of you will like one metaphor more than the others. That's the only reason I'm sharing a few with you. Because down the ages, there's probably been hundreds of them. Martin Luther spoke of a tree. So if you like trees, you'll like this one. And he talked about the root of the tree under the ground, where it can't be seen, as being God. We know God's there, but we can't actually see him, but he's there. And he was evidenced in the trunk of the tree, said Martin Luther, which was Jesus. You could see it. You could see the trunk because he was visible to us. He shared with us. He lived with us. So you've got the root and the trunk. And then when he went, he left with us the Holy Spirit, which was the fruit. We talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that's where Luther thought it came from. So you have the root, the trunk, and the fruit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Metaphors are helpful, I think, because you can picture it a bit better. The last one that I'll share with you, there are loads, you could look them all up, but the Desert Fathers, I've never heard of these, the two Gregories and Basil. Anyone ever heard of the Desert Fathers? Yeah? Yeah? Who are they? Oh, right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. They talked about light, and they talked about the source of the light being the Father. So wherever the light comes from, that's the source of the Father. And then there's the illumination it provided is the Son. So the illumination it gives, the fact that it lights up. But the other thing that has is warmth. And that is the Holy Spirit that could provide warmth. So there's different ways that you can think of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So can we be like God? We are made in the image of God, and in that image we can relate to God. And just as God is a wonderful surprise, God is everywhere. God is in tears of joy and in tears of sorrow. God is in everything. We think of God sometimes as being in the good things and God not being present in the other things that aren't so good. But biblically, God is in everything, and God uses everything. Saint Augustine, the one who's thought about God as lover, beloved, and the love shared between the two, was walking along the seashore one day, and he was thinking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he heard a voice saying, pick up one of the large shells that is on the seashore. So he did. He picked it up. And then the voice said, pour the ocean into the shell that you hold in. And Augustine thought, I can't do that. The sea will not fit into this shell. And the voice said, of course not. In the same way, how can your mind understand everything that God is doing and why God is doing it? And that meant a lot to me, because all those things that happen that we don't get, and we think, why is that? That's not fair. I mean, you must have heard that millions of times. You hear it from children all the time. But we use it as adults as well, don't we? We're always saying to God, that's not fair. The Holy Trinity is a window into God. It's a parable, a paradox that takes us beyond the mystery of the divine. God, the Creator, Father. Father of the Son and the source of the Spirit. We call the first person of the Godhead Father because that is what Jesus told us to call him. He said, Abba, Father. And when he taught us to pray, he taught us to say, Our Father who art in heaven. We call him Father because he is our Father. God the Redeemer. We call the second person of the Godhead Son because he comes from the Father. He was sent to God by God to us, to be God with us, to live out his life with us and for us as one of us. And through Jesus and his life on earth that we can read about in the Bible, in the New Testament, we learn how to live a life that God wants us to live. We learn to look at the example of Jesus and apply it to our life wherever we are. Our life working with people's eyes. Our life living in Ashton, in a neighbourhood that isn't particularly Christian, but to share the gospel there. Our life when we go to Morrison's to do the shopping. Whatever it is you do, you can apply Jesus' example to the life that we live in. But he was also flesh and blood and given by God to save the world, to die and save us all. We're going to have communion later on. And that's the mystery of communion, that we recognise in that Jesus died for each one of us. And then when Jesus prepared to return to the Father, he promised another advocate, he called him, another advocate, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God would be with us wherever we go. And that is amazing, because we've got God the Father, God the Son, and we've got the Holy Spirit to be with us wherever we go and whatever situation we are in. That amazes me anyway, that Holy Spirit is with us even when we're going through our darkest days and we don't think that God is there at all. He is. The Holy Spirit is still there. When I was thinking about this, it led me to think about the internet. Has everyone got the internet? I know Jean struggles with the internet, don't you? But has everyone got the internet in the house? Yeah. No? Yeah? Some people haven't, some people have. No. If you have, how do you know it's there? I know you've got a little thing somewhere, haven't you? You've got a little black box or something somewhere that's plugged in and it's got a wire that goes goodness knows where and does goodness knows what. I don't understand any of this. But then you've got the internet in your house. But where is it? Can you reach up? We've got the internet in church. So, oh, there. Oh, no, it's not there. Where is it? In the air. It's just, yeah. It's strange, isn't it? Because it's just there. Isn't that like the Holy Spirit? That it's just there. It's around us all the time. Whether we recognize it's there or not, we probably haven't thought of the internet in church all morning. It's still been there. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. It's still there, whether or not we recognize it's there. The Father is not the Son or the Spirit, but the Father, creator of heaven and earth. The Son is neither the Father nor the Spirit, but God in human flesh, sent as a Saviour to redeem the world. The Spirit is neither the Father nor the Son, but God's presence with us today. The Trinity is a statement of our faith. God created us, saved us, and is still with us. Three parts of the Trinity. God invites us back to Him, back to the Creator, back to the Redeemer, back to the Sanctifier. God wants to be one with us because He created us. And after He created us, He sent His Son to save us. And after His Son had saved us, He sent the Holy Spirit to remain with us. Is it starting to make a bit of sense? It won't make complete sense. You can go away and think about it for 200 years. This is the mystery of God that we celebrate today. God over and above us, God for and with us, and God in and among us. In the Nicene Creed, we recite, we affirm that we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So just to finish, I want to look at why we've even bothered looking at this today. Why have we even looked at this concept that we call the Trinity? The first reason is that Jesus revealed the Trinity to us. The existence of the Father, of Himself, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus came and lived among us to teach us, to show us how to live and how to love. He worked miracles and died for our sins, rose from the dead to show us the way to eternal life. So whatever Jesus reveals to us, He reveals it for a reason. So the very fact that Jesus told us about the importance of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Trinity is enough of a reason for me to want to know a bit more about it. Secondly, whilst we cannot grasp the idea of one God, three persons, each of them God, we can recognize that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are a perfect model of harmony and unity. Three in one, working together. So perfectly entwined that you can't see where one ends and the other begins. And they all intertwine between them. And isn't that a little bit what church should be? So that we're so intertwined using our gifting, using what God has asked us to use, that you can't even see where the joins are. And I think Roman Road's a bit like that. At its best, Roman Road is like that. When we have all sorts of things going on, coffee mornings and all sorts of things that we have in the hall, you see people using the giftings that you've given them, that God has given them, and it just flows and it just works together, and it's wonderful to see. And for me, that's a bit of an analogy of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together. The third reason is in the first chapter of Genesis, we are created in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, since Jesus has revealed to us the essence of God as unity, harmony, community, and relationship, We are called to be harmony, community, and relationship where we are. We are called to be the people that bring harmony, that bring community, that tell people the importance of a relationship with a living God. And that's what the Holy Spirit, Father and Son, is all about. It's all about relationship. We are called to worship the one who created the world. We are called to worship the one who loved the world enough to come into the world and invite us into a relationship, to give his son to die for each one of us. We are called to worship the one who comes as the Holy Spirit, blowing where it will, doing as it will. This is the Holy Trinity, a mystery that we can only catch a glimpse of. So think about it this coming week, but don't expect to fully understand it. We're going to share a song together. You can stay seated during this song, and Elizabeth